We're in a series on the attributes of God. And the title of the series is God is blank. And whatever you put in that blank dictates how you live your life on this earth. If you believe that God is mean, then that's the way you're going to live your life. If you believe that God is harsh, if you believe God is cruel, if you believe God is angry, that's going to affect the way you live. And so this is, I think, our 10th week in this series, because I did two on one of them, 9th or 10th week. And I just want to review with you the attributes that we've covered so far. The first thing we talked about was God is a person, not a human, but a person. That means that we can have a personal relationship with Him. Secondly, we talked about God is good. I actually preached that message on September 9th, 2 days before the attack on our country. And there were lots of questions going around. If God is good, why would He or why would this? We live in a fallen world. Satan is evil. And Satan tries to point at things that he does and get us to question God. God is good. The third thing we talked about is God is omni. And we talked about the three omnis of God. That He is omnipotent, He is omniscient, and He is omnipresent. He has all power, all knowledge, and is all present. Next, we talked about God is justice and mercy. How could God be fully justice and fully mercy? Justice is giving someone what he deserves. Mercy is not giving someone what he deserves. And we talked about how God was merciful on us, yet He was fully just because Jesus Christ, God's Son, paid the full price. So the Bible tells us that God is faithful and just, or justified, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because of what Jesus did, God made a just decision when He sentenced me to heaven, because Jesus paid the full price for me. The next thing we talked about was God is sovereign, that He is the supreme ruler of the universe and answers to no one. And you might have to worry about it, that He answers to no one, if you didn't know that He was just and merciful and good and loving and kind and perfect. But He doesn't have to answer to anyone because He is perfect on His own. The next thing we talked about is God is holy. And the last thing we talked about before today was God is grace. Today we're going to talk about God is faithful. That God is completely, totally faithful. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. This is what is called the faith chapter in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. What does it mean that God is faithful? As you're turning, I want you to begin to think about this. What does it mean? And for us to understand God is faithful, we have to understand the word faithful. And it's very simple to understand. If you just break it down, faithful means that God is full of faith. But see, we don't understand that because we think, well, we're the ones that are supposed to have faith. How can God be full of faith? And the reason is what we don't understand is because we don't understand what faith means. And listen to me. This is what faith means. Faith means trust. That's what it simply means. Faith means trust. When you put your faith in Christ, you put your trust in Christ. When you put your faith, when you get on an airplane, in essence, you're putting your trust in the pilot and in that airplane to get you where you're supposed to go. We were flying last weekend when Peter Pretorius was here, the missionary from Africa. I went to Jimmy Evans Church in Amarillo to preach. Rick and Cammy Patterson, their children, went with us. And we got on the airplane, and we were on Southwest. So you know how in Southwest there's that section where seats face each other, you know? And so we were right behind that row of seats, and in those two sections that faced each other were these men that worked for an oil company in Alaska. I think Exxon, and they were coming back home after being out there working. But all of these men looked like tree trunks, you know? They were huge. Their necks were huge. None of them had their collars buttoned because they couldn't. They were big. I mean, just huge men. And so Rick and I leaned up after a little while and we said, guys, we just want you to know that we took a vote back here and decided if this plane is hijacked, this row right here is going to take care of them. And one of these big guys said, we already decided that. But when you get on a plane, you put your trust, you put your faith in that plane that it's going to go where the pilot says it's going to go. So the word faith simply means trust. So listen to what it means when God is faithful. Now, the word trust comes from a word that all of us understand and know. And you get the, if you want to know where trust comes from, take the first three letters of trust. T-R-U. True. The reason you trust someone is because the person is truthful or full of truth. He's telling you the truth. When you go to a store to buy a computer and you see the ad in the paper and you think this is a great price, and you go and you start asking them questions about the computer, and after 15, 20 minutes, you begin to realize this salesman is not being truthful with me. He's not telling me the truth. He's exaggerating. And so I wonder if I can trust this store to stand behind their warranty. I wonder if I can trust what he's telling me about this computer. Even though it's a great price, I think I'm going to shop around some because I just don't trust this store because of this representative of this store. Do you understand what I'm saying? The reason you trust someone is because you believe the person is truthful. Trust is earned. Trust takes time. You don't immediately trust a stranger. You have to get to know someone and get to know his character if you're going to trust him. If you have a teenager who doesn't tell you the truth, then for a while you don't trust that teenager. You still love that teenager, but you can't put your trust in him because he wasn't truthful with you. So what does it mean that God is faithful? It means the reason I can trust God is because God is full of truth. Faithful, faith means trust, and it comes from the word truth. So God is faithful. God is full of truth. God never has, never will, and cannot lie. Let me show you some scriptures on this. You don't need to turn to these. These will be on the PowerPoint. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. When you see in the Bible, it always puts the word true with faithful when it talks about God. It says, these things, the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen. This is Jesus. The faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God. Jesus is a faithful and true witness. When he comes back in Revelation 19:11, it says, and I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. God is faithful and true. Here's some other verses about God. Numbers 23 verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said? Now that's a question. Has he said, and will he not do? In other words, if he said it, he's going to do it because he doesn't lie. Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God is not a man that he should lie. Titus 1 verse 2 tells us, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promise before time began. And then Hebrews 6 verse 18 says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set for us. Now I want you to notice what these three verses says. It says God is not a man that he should lie. He cannot lie, and it is impossible for him to lie. See, we have to remember something about attributes. An attribute is something God is, not something God has. God doesn't have love. He is love. God doesn't just have goodness. He is goodness. God doesn't just have truth or no truth. He is truth. Mohammed said he knew the truth. Buddha said he knew the truth. Jesus didn't say he knew the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. If you want to know the truth, you come to me because I am. This is my being. His very being is truthful. God cannot lie because he is the embodiment of truth. He is the full perfection of truth. And there is no error, no lie, nothing in him that could even be close to lying. So I can trust him. God is trustworthy. He is worthy of my trust because he is full of truth. God is faithful. Now, what is my response to God's faithfulness? Well, it's obvious. Faith is the correct response to God's faithfulness. faith is the correct response to God's faithful. See, when I understand that God is faithful, then faith is the next easy, natural step. And see, all of us here want to have faith, and we all have faith to some degree. We've all been given, according to the Bible, a measure of faith. But some have more faith than others. Why? Because we have come to the place where we know Him and we trust Him and we've walked with Him so long and we've been in one hard place and been delivered, been in another hard place and been delivered, been in another hard place and been delivered, till finally when we walk into a hard place, we don't even flinch. We just say, I know God will deliver because I've been here before and God is faithful. Trust is a response to truth and faith is a response to faithfulness. Now, what's the definition of faith? We're in Hebrews 11. I know that people say Hebrews 11:1 is the definition of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'm not trying to disagree with mainstream theology because this is a great verse on faith. And it is, in essence, the definition of faith. But it doesn't tell me how to have faith. It basically tells me if I have faith, then I'm going to have substance and evidence even though I can't see it. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, Hebrews 11:1 is kind of the result of faith. It tells me, listen, if you have faith, then you're going to have substance for the things you hope for and you're going to have evidence for the things you can't see. Okay, that's great. How do I get faith? What action do I take to get faith? Well, Hebrews 11:1 is three ones. 11:1. 1:1:1. All right? I think you need to add one more one. Hebrews 11:11. To me, is the best definition of faith. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. Now, this is an amazing verse, folks. We need to look at it. She received strength. The physical attributes that she needed as a woman past age to bear children, she received by her faith in God. She received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age because. When we see the word because, we need to perk up. This is a good word in the Bible. This tells us how she did it. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. The way that Sarah was able to receive strength to conceive seed after she was past the age of bearing children was she made a judgment about God. Now I want you to hear me now because I know what we say. We say, well, you're not supposed to judge. You judge every day. And you are supposed to judge. Now, we're not supposed to judge, be judgmental of other people, but we do have to judge. You judge a stock by if it's a good stock to invest in or not. And many of us made some bad judgments in the last 18 months, but I'm not going to bring that up right now. I'm over it. You judge a doctor by if he's a good doctor to go to or not. And sometimes you judge that you want to go to another doctor and you want to hear what his opinion is. It's called getting a second opinion. It's like the guy went to the doctor and the doctor said, you're sick. And the guy said, I want a second opinion. He said, okay, you're ugly too. And that's not the kind of second opinion he wanted. You judge which movies to go to. You judge all the time. You judge the food in your refrigerator. Have you ever gone to the refrigerator and, you know, you're starving? Now, for this, especially for the men, and the wife's gone, and you open it up, and there's nothing. But there's a bunch of containers in there. And so you wonder, what's in those containers? You know, and you kind of start looking. And then you ever done this? Go to the one at the back? Let me try that one there. Oh, man, I judge this not fit for human consumption. You know, you don't know how long it's been in there, so then you don't know what to do with it, you know. Here, Spot. Good boy, you're going to like that, you know. So we judge all the time. Listen, whether you realize it or not, you're judging God. You judge God every day and you judge him either faithful or unfaithful. When you get a bad report from the doctor, in the doctor's office, you make a judgment on God. When that doctor says this, in your heart, you either judge God faithful or you judge him unfaithful. When you do have a bad investment, you judge God faithful or you judge him unfaithful. When your teenagers go through a difficult time, you judge God faithful or you judge God unfaithful. When you lose your job, you judge God faithful or you judge God unfaithful. It's not a matter of whether we judge God, it's a matter of how we judge. See, you're going to judge him. Every day you make a judgment in your heart. Do I trust God or not? And listen to me, there's no middle ground. He's either faithful or unfaithful. A husband is either faithful or unfaithful. No middle ground. Once you're unfaithful, you're not faithful. Once you're faithful, you're not unfaithful. You're either one. You understand? It's not like there's, well, you know, has your husband been faithful to you? Sort of. No, he's either been faithful or he's been unfaithful, one or the other. It's one or the other. And with God, he's faithful or he's unfaithful. And we have to judge. The reason that many people don't have faith is because they don't know God. See, faith, you have to understand what I'm about to say. Faith is based on trust, and trust is based on knowledge. Faith is based on trust, and trust is based on knowledge. You don't trust someone you don't know. And the way you find out if you can trust someone or not is you get to know them. When you bring an employee into your company, you don't immediately make him the CEO because you don't know if you can trust him or not. But you begin to give him this responsibility. He fulfills it. He's trustworthy. So you give him more responsibility. And if he's faithful with that responsibility, you give him more responsibility. And you continue to do that. But if he's not trustworthy, then you don't give him more responsibility. You see, trust is earned. It takes time. We have to get to know people. My wife and I have been married 21 years now. I trust her because I know her. When we first got married, now you have to remember, I wasn't saved when we first got married. I got saved 9 months after we got married. I have a bad past. I was a bad person before I met the Lord. I was immoral. I was prideful. I was arrogant. I lied. I did what lost people do. That's what I did. And I get married to this very pure woman who loves the Lord, and she's already rubbing off on me, and I'm beginning to see things, but I want to be very honest with you. When we first got married, I had dreams about her being unfaithful. And I would wake up hurt and angry. And you know, and she couldn't figure it out. You know, why are you mad at me? And so I told her, well, I had this dream. She said, but I didn't do it. You know, why are you mad at me? It was your stupid dream. But I used to battle this and struggle with this. And I can even remember saying to her, you don't have these thoughts? She said, no, I don't have those thoughts. I've never had those thoughts. There was a time in college when I knew I could have those thoughts, but I made a choice not to. And I don't think that way. Listen, I was so afraid she was going to be unfaithful. Why? Listen carefully to me. Because I thought that she was like me. I couldn't understand because I had no concept. I didn't know Christ. I didn't understand faithful. And I'd grown up in a world that wasn't faithful. I'd grown up in a cheating and lying and stealing world. And I just could not understand it. I really believed after a few years, I thought this is too good to be true. My wife is so pure. She's so faithful. And then as I became a Christian and began to learn about God, I began to realize God is the reason she's faithful. Because God is faithful. And God is pure. And God has imparted to her, because she got saved at 9 and I got saved at 19. God has imparted to her a purity, and it was wonderful. But see, the reason that after years, say, I don't have those thoughts anymore, I don't have those dreams anymore, because after 21 years, I have no worries about her being faithful, because I know her character. You know why we doubt God's faithfulness? Because we think that he's like us. He's not like us. He's never had a bad thought. He's never sinned. He's never lied. He's perfect. He's holy. He's pure. He's completely, totally pure. And the way for me to have faith in Him is get to know Him. The more I get to know Him, it's going to be like me getting to know my wife. This is too good to be true. This is wonderful. And we've got to spend time with Him so we can get to know Him. All right, if faith is the correct response to faithfulness, what's the incorrect response? Fear. Fear is the incorrect response to God's faithfulness. See, the faithfulness of God is our foundation for peace. For a Christian, fear is a lie. Hear me. For a Christian, fear is always a lie. When fear says you're going to die of this, you're going to lose this, you're going to forget that, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Listen, it's God who is our protector. It's God who is the one that holds our health, our finances in the palm of His hand. It's God. We can trust Him. Now, if you're taking notes there, I hope you write this down. I don't want you to forget what I'm about to tell you. Faith fills, F-I-L-L-S, and fear floods. Now hear me. Faith fills, F-I-L-L-S, like filling up a swimming pool with the water hose. Faith fills. Faith takes time. Trust takes time. See, you get saved, you come to Christ, and we say, God will be faithful. And you say, yeah, I believe that. Well, you just got saved. You're just getting to know Him as a person. It's going to take a while to get to know Him. The more you get to know Him, the more trust you'll have, so the more faith you'll have. Faith fills, fear floods. You get a bad report. Someone calls on the telephone. A secretary calls you, beeps you on the buzzer. The boss wants to see you now. You get a letter in the mail from the IRS. Fear floods. I mean, it just floods you, just overwhelms you. All of a sudden, everything's going great, and it just floods. And it comes quickly. Years ago, we bought a swimming pool from Walmart. They're not that expensive, and there's a reason why. And so anyway, we bought that. It was probably about as high as this platform, about 3-4 feet high, you know. And of course, kids want to swim immediately. You know, it's ready to go. We want to swim. And so we got it all set up and all. Took somewhere around 12 hours, I think. But we got it all set up, and we started putting the water hose in it, filling it up, you know. And kids got in, and they're splashed around about this much water, and then this much, you know. And it took a long time to fill. Finally, it filled up. Oh, they're just having a great time. And then Dad decided to go swimming. You know, those walls are flimsy. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but you can't push down on one of those walls when you're trying to step in the pool. You know, you're trying to step over, and you push down just a little bit to step over. And you know what happens when you do that? It collapses. I couldn't believe it. The wall collapsed, and all that water flooded our yard in about 4.6 seconds. Just flooded, just like that. That's the way fear is. See, a flood doesn't take long, but filling something takes a long time. Fear comes suddenly. Proverbs 3, verses 25 and 26 says, "Do not be afraid of sudden terror." All of us have had this happen, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Fear comes very quickly, comes suddenly on you. Debbie and I went on a cruise a few years ago, and I'm a scuba diver. And so I went snorkeling. She sat on the beach. This was her job. This was my job. You know, she sat on the beach. I went snorkeling. And I'm not afraid. I've scuba dived with sharks and moray eels and all that, and I just have a blast out there. But when I was snorkeling, I just lie on top of the surface and just, you know, go out. And I go out pretty far. And so I was several hundred yards from the shore, having a great time. And I looked to the right, and there was a barracuda. 10 times more barracuda attacks than shark attacks. If you're a scuba diver, you know these things. And so I thought, okay. I am pretty good ways. I'll just start making my way back to the shore. And it's fine as long as there's not more than one. And as I turned and thought myself, more than one, there was another one right here. So there's one on this side, and there's one on this side. See, and I thought, okay, there's only two. They attack in packs, and as long as there's not any more, and here came three more. And they're just surrounding me. And so I turned around to go this way, and here's one now behind me. I was flooded with fear. And I started making my way and praying every prayer I knew to get back to the shore. And Debbie's sitting on the shore. She's never seen me afraid in the water. But when I got to where I could stand up, I started running, you know, to the shore. But I don't know if you've ever run in flippers. You can't go forward in flippers, and divers know this. You have to go backward, you know. So I was going backward, falling, going backward, falling, and she thought it was the funniest thing in the world. That's the way fear is. It floods you. It completely. You've had this happen. Every one of us. You get a report from the doctor, you get a bad phone call, something happens, and fear just floods. This is why we've got to get to know God, because faith takes time. You say, well, okay, now I'm in trouble, Robert, because you're saying faith takes time, and I hadn't been walking with the Lord that long. I may only have a few inches in my pool. And you're saying fear floods. What do I do when a flood comes? Well, let me tell you something. One word from God is mightier than any flood from the enemy. When fear floods and you don't have enough faith in your bank account, just go to God and say, God, I need to hear you. I've done this in hospitals. I've gone in the little bathroom, closed the door, knelt down by the toilet and said, God, I need a word from you. I need to hear you because this situation is difficult. I don't know what's going to happen. And God speaks one word and the fear goes. Romans 10:17 says, So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And Revelation 1:15 says, his feet were like fine brass as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. You remember the swimming pool? Think about the water in the swimming pool. But have you ever been to Niagara Falls? Listen, the swimming pool is like the voice of the enemy, and Niagara Falls is like the voice of God. You can take that little Walmart swimming pool and let it go over the falls, and it's going to be destroyed. When you have a fear or flood of fear from the enemy, go to God. He can speak one verse. He can speak one thought. He can speak one word to your heart. And immediately, the fear will go. You remember when they were in the boat? The disciples and Jesus were in the boat, and Jesus was asleep. And the storm came up, and fear flooded the disciples. Flooded them. And Jesus stood up and said, be still. Be still. Stop it. One word and the storm stopped. God is faithful. You can trust God. He has never lied and He never will lie. No matter what you're going through, you can trust God. If God's given you some promises about your family, promises about your children, promises about your business, promises about your health, you can trust God. God is trustworthy. God is faithful. I read this week about a little church in the Smoky Mountains, Tennessee, and a church member had given some property to the church. And they needed to build a bigger building, and so they began building the building and they trying to go through all the right channels, but they kind of missed a few channels, you know, how that happens sometimes. And on the back of the property, it backed right up to one of the mountains, one of the foothills there. And so they were doing all the stuff, and 10 days before they were supposed to open the new building, the building inspector came out and began counting the parking spaces. And he went to the pastor of the church and he said, you don't have enough parking spaces for the seats you have. You have more seats than you have. The ratio is not right. And the only thing that I can figure out is you're going to have to move some of that mountain and pave that area so you can have enough parking spaces. And so the pastor called a prayer meeting for everyone who had mountain moving faith. They had 300 members and 24 showed up. And they prayed and they prayed, and at the end of the prayer meeting, the Lord spoke to the pastor's heart and said, I am faithful. And he knew God had spoken it. So he stood up and he said to those 24 people, God just gave me a word. He is faithful. Next Sunday, we will open and we'll be in that new building. I don't know how, but God will do it. And on Monday morning, knock on his door, open the door. There was this big construction worker there, hard hat, everything, you know. And he said, Pastor, I'm the foreman from the town next door. We're building a shopping mall, and we've got to have some field dirt immediately. And if you'll let us have some of that dirt from that mountain behind you, we'll pay you for the dirt, and we'll pave that area for you where we move the dirt from and stripe it so you can have more parking. And the next Sunday, he said, but we got to have it now. And they did it that week. And the next Sunday, the church opened on time. Because God is faithful. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes.